Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Local Shop Podcast. This is Chris Noyce, and it's the podcast for everything to do with the convenience sector and the issues facing local shops. On this episode of the podcast, I'd like to update on some of the developments from the last week, but the main focus this week is going to be on colleague safety. I'm going to be talking to Ed from ACS and Patrick Holdaway, who you might have seen at the crime seminar last month, and it feels like a long time ago now. Who's from the National Business Crime Centre, and we'll hear from Rav Garcher as well, independent retailer, about some of the abuse that he's faced since the lockdown. And we're also going to play a new interview with our Chief Executive, James, that will be going out to local radio stations later this week. So first then, National Living Wage and National Minimum Wage rates went up today. The National Living Wage is now £8.72 an hour, and the minimum wage rate is £8.20 an hour. Now, the Low Pay Commission, who make the recommendations to government on future wage rates, have warned that there may be a need for what they're calling an emergency break if COVID-19 causes sufficient damage to the economy. Now, obviously, employment costs are one of the biggest costs that retailers face, so this is something we're going to keep very close to. And a team are working on gathering evidence for the Low Pay Commission at the moment. If you have any evidence that you'd like to give to us, to give to the Low Pay Commission, explaining, you know, the impact of increased costs in your business when it comes to employment, then please get in touch with us. Best person to speak to in the first instance is Steve. That's steve.dowling, D-O-W-L-I-N-G, at acs.org.uk. There was another increase that came into effect today, but this one is about contactless payments. So the upper limit for contactless payments has gone from £30 up to £45. And the reasoning for this is to help more customers use contactless payment if they can, in line with WHO and government guidance. And we've got a simple poster on our website which explains that change to customers, as well as helping them to queue in line with social distancing rules. And it's worth saying as well that there are still lots of people that can only use cash or only want to use cash. And we've talked in the past plenty of times about the importance of cash to local communities. So it's important that stores still accept other payment methods as well, cash, normal card payments, in addition to contactless. But as I said, WHO and government guidance says that if possible, customers should use contactless payment at the till. And the third update is around essential and non-essential products. And to give a bit of context on this, we had reports from members that stores were receiving visits from environmental health officers who were telling the store that they shouldn't be selling non-essential products like Easter eggs and hot cross buns. And I don't know if you like my household, but those both sound pretty essential at the moment. But either way, we got straight in touch with Bucks and Surrey Trading Standards, who cover all the assured advice for us. And they provided some brief assured content that basically said stores should continue to sell their full product ranges and not restrict the types of food that they're selling. And we thought that was pretty straightforward and uncontroversial, but as you might have noticed over the last few days, this has really blown up. And at one point, this was about the main story in the UK. Every single newspaper in the country was covering this. We were even the subject of a Matt cartoon this morning, which is, you know, just amazing how far this has gone. There's been lots of different things brought into this story that aren't all from us. So just when you're reading the papers, sort of give that with a bit of a pinch of salt. But the main thing for members is that if you get a visit from Environmental Health and they try and stop you selling certain items, get in touch with us and we'll ask Bucks and Surrey to get involved, because they shouldn't be doing that. And that was the whole point of what we were doing. So onto the theme of today's podcast, which is colleague safety. My first guests are Ed Woodall, Head of Policy and Public Affairs at ACS, and Patrick Holdaway, who is a Chief Inspector and Head of Operations at the National Business Crime Centre. Here is that conversation now. Hello, Ed and Patrick. How are you doing?
Good afternoon. Hi.
Great. So this is the first time we've done more than one person on a call. So if it's a bit patchy, then bear with us. But I think the tech's going to work. So there's one thing ticked off the list. Ed, you've been talking to a lot of retailers recently about what's been happening in terms of crime. We would expect, I'd imagine, if people are staying at home, that crime would be way down. Is this the case?
Yeah, I think actually from retailers, they're feeling back that they're seeing a reasonably similar picture around experience of certainly shop theft in store. I think the clearest message that I'm getting back from retailers is an increase in verbal abuse around the store. And that's in part because of them getting them and their customers getting used to new social distancing measures in stores, which might involve queuing or more spaced out queues or limiting the number of people coming into the store. And obviously that's a different new thing, which can sometimes cause tension. As well as that, I suppose we should recognize that during this this sort of crisis for the country, customers are more anxious and worried when they come to the shops, and that can obviously lead to sort of tension in the store as well. So I'm seeing higher verbal abuse. And I suppose the key message there is that obviously for shop staff, that's you know, it's definitely not part of their job. It's something that is unacceptable, and that they should be reporting to their managers, and in turn, where there's, you know, really aggressive behavior, that's being reported to the police as well. Going back to the shop theft side of things, I think there's quite a similar picture that retailers are reporting back. And I think that's in part because we know the majority of people committing crimes of shop theft in stores are actually those that are repeat offenders, often feeding an addiction. And they still need to do that even if there is this sort of national crisis happening. So we're very much still trying to contend with those issues. Now, I think that's the main feedback I'm getting at the minute.
Yeah. And Patrick, you deal with obviously not just crime in convenience stores, but all business crime. Is it staying reasonably steady in this time, or is business crime changed since the start of the disruption a couple of weeks ago?
So I think to support what Ed said, really, so we are seeing that clearly if you take your average shoplifter, the plethora of stores, the options they've got, so if they're offending, you've seen a lot of a large number of stores that have closed down, electronic and clothing retailers have closed down. Your larger supermarkets have got additional security in place in terms of social distancing and scrutiny around who goes into those. So I think if you do look at your kind of average shoplifter that needs to commit a crime to feed a habit or something, then sometimes they are being focused more around the more local stores that are left open, which is why perhaps some of your members aren't seeing, they're still seeing crime still quite taking place. Definitely the issue has been a change in the methodology in terms of I'm getting reports back of a lot more kind of aggressive nature, as Ed talked about. Unfortunately, colleagues being spat upon or coughed upon, followed up with, I've got COVID type stuff. So, and we're really keen from the police service to really clamp down on that. You know, for us, that's really, really important in the current state of things. You know, that's a real public confidence issue that we are seeing to go out and deal with those robustly. And I'm pleased to say we've had a lot of good feedback to say that is actually the case taking place now.
Yeah, it's really interesting actually what you say about that increased scrutiny around social distancing, because when I go to my local shop just up the road, they don't have security, but they have a person on the door making sure that only a certain amount of people are in store at one time. And I think a lot of shops were doing that. So as you say, there's just more attention on every person going into the shop, and especially with planned routes around shops and that kind of thing, it's becoming more challenging to thieves. And I guess, as you say, that's why we might be seeing more abuse and verbal abuse at the same time. I guess it's also a bit of, for people that aren't, you know, hardened criminals, the verbal abuse and things from just what otherwise would be normal customers is, while it's not acceptable, it's because people are just very tense at the moment, I think, as well.
I think it's a mixture of frustration, isn't it? If you're in a queue and you want to take something, you've been limited, and some of the guidance, people have taken a different interpretation of what they can and what they can't do. And I think if you think, you know, this has only been in place just over a week now, where we've gone from in a week. So a week ago, the supermarkets, not many were out putting social distancing measures in place. Now everywhere is. We're very quickly adapting to new scenarios, and things are changing very, very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. And are police still able to come out to these incidents of theft, abuse, violence, or is there?
Yes, they are. Yeah, definitely. And I think with all these things, you know, we encourage businesses to report crime that's taken place. Clearly, with the current situation at the moment, that, you know, they will have a different matrix. They'll have their own staff issues. Certainly, we've seen some sickness has been mirrored across society generally because of COVID and isolation, but the feedback I've got that forces are managing those really, really well and doing everything they can. And I think from the early start, there's a lot of staff now kind of coming back that have initially been in isolation, and this is where we hope the improved testing will add some value as well, because we can get people back to work quicker. So, but yeah, I'd certainly still encourage businesses to report crime.
Yeah, and Ed, I mentioned three things there: shop theft, violence and abuse. They're often thought of as crimes in their own right, which of course they are, but there's obviously a link between those, isn't there?
Yeah, there certainly is. And we see that shop theft is the sort of number one trigger for violence and abuse against staff. So that's why it's one of our issues and key asks before of this for the government to address and look at how police forces, deal with those offenders and certainly acknowledge and recognise repeat offenders and try and break the cycle of their offending if that's motivated by shop theft. Picking up on what Patrick is saying around the coughing and spitting element, I mean, firstly to say it's obviously a really atrocious sort of weapon that people are using to play on people's fears at this time. I should say that the Crown Prosecution Service have been out very quickly to be clear that it's not going to be tolerated in the same way that Patrick's just explained to the police. It can be one of those offences that will now be potentially charged as a common assault. And the Crown Prosecution Service on that have been really clear that they're standing behind emergency workers and essential workers, which include shop workers, and that they wouldn't hesitate to prosecute anyone that did that in an attempt to be sort of aggressive or get away with shop theft offences in any way. So I think that's important that we get that message out there, that those won't be tolerated.
Yeah, definitely. And Patrick, I guess you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but lots of other businesses are closed at the moment. Do you think local shops are more of a focal point for crime than they perhaps otherwise would be?
I think in terms of shop theft, it will be because there are limited places they can go. I mean, we are still seeing other types of crime. So clearly with so many empty premises, burglary is a real concern for businesses. A lot of those have improved, increased levels of security to kind of mitigate that because you've got shopping malls, etc., with very, very little in there. So there's a bit of a risk there, but certainly in terms of shop theft, then clearly taking out those bigger stores, the stores with additional security, people are being pushed into different kind of areas.
Yeah, and just on that empty premises point, the vast majority of stores will be staying open, convenience stores, but there are some that are looking to close for a few weeks, a couple of months to wait until this thing resumes back to normality. If there are any retailers listening that are thinking of closing their store, perhaps they're a store near a train station and they don't get that much passing trade, they don't have a community of people there, is there anything they can do when closing down the store just to make it as safe as possible?
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of guidance. There's a lot of membership groups have put guidance out. We put guidance out as well around empty premises, make sure it's secure, make sure you've got current key holders. A lot of staff are furlough in their staff, but of course some of those are actually are part of the key holder process. So just have that mechanism and understanding in place that if something does happen, can the security company get hold of somebody to actually come out and help resolve some of those issues?
Great. And I guess to wrap up then, how different overall do you think the situation is at the moment when it comes to interaction between retailers and the police? Are we about as close to business as usual as we can be, or is there anything extra that retailers should think about or consider when reporting crime? Ed obviously mentioned the whole coughing, sort of spitting at people as a serious issue. What other things should retailers be thinking about at the moment?
So I think there's a couple of things. I think it's important that if that spitting in, when businesses report a crime, sometimes they report a shop theft of which there's an assault attached to it. I think that assault can sometimes get lost in the details. So if you're going to phone the police, make sure that, the reason you're phoning is around the assault and the spitting, of which there is an associated shop theft with it. So make that kind of clear. Make sure the police have got all the evidence and all the information they need to make that proper dispatch from that perspective. I would say the feedback we've got from businesses has been really, really positive around policing. They've seen a great level of visibility from police officers and staff in around the area. It's vitally important. The businesses are open at the moment to kind of feed the nation really through this difficult time, and I think the police want to be really seen to be supportive of that and kind of look after colleagues. So please do take the time to report it in.
Great. And I guess Ed, last word from you then. In terms of big picture, are the priorities still the same in terms of getting government to look at things like shop theft, things like abuse seriously? What's the latest on? I mean, I appreciate some of these things have been pushed back a bit, but We were eagerly anticipating things like the Home Office's response to call for evidence. Is that still on the cards?
Yeah, I think obviously now everyone's priorities is focused around getting through this crisis and outbreak that we're facing at the minute. But I am assured that the Home Office still have this around violence towards shop workers on the top of their agenda to come out once they get through this outbreak. I think for now we just have to have good situational awareness and also good communication, both with our customers, but also colleagues and the police as well. And the more that we can seek to sort of share experiences and keep communication open, I think we can try and address this challenge together. And we've really got some shared objectives of trying to keep community safe, our colleagues safe, and our store safe as well.
Great. Okay, well, thanks both of you. I appreciate you're both really busy. It's a definitely a challenging time. So appreciate coming onto the podcast, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thanks again to both Ed and Patrick. It's really useful to get an idea of what police capacity is like at the moment, what the sort of pressures are on police, and also generally how retailers are feeling like as well. And so as we've done for the last few weeks, we're going to hear from a retailer now about what's happening on the ground, some first-hand account of what crime is like in stores at the moment. And we're featuring Rav Garcher on the podcast today because I came across a message from Rav earlier this week where he talked about receiving a lot of abuse from customers in a pretty short space of time. So I gave him a call to find out more. Hi, Rav. How are you doing?
Hi, Chris. Not bad, thank you. Very well.
Good. So I'm getting in touch partly just to see how things are, how business is, but also because I saw online you posting some pretty stark stuff about some of the abuse that you've been facing in store over the last couple of weeks. Can you just give us some details on what's been going on?
Yeah, so over the last few weeks, we've all experienced tension, and we've had to put in precautions to make sure we're not selling too much to too many people, the limitations generally, the environment that we're in. But specifically, what I've experienced is it's the most benign, littlest thing that has set a spark in people's heads. So three or four occasions. First one was a member of staff asked a young girl for ID. She then blew up at him, and then when I'd run out and tried to find out what was going on, just went off at me at it, and then started being racist and started spitting at me. So with the police involved in that one.
Yeah.
Few days later, an incident where a chap came in, very normal, very regular, comes in three or four times a day, was mischanged, had the pill, sorted it out there and then, got it, figured out what the problem was, sorted the change out, but he just blew up at the member of staff. A female member of staff came over to help, blew up at her, called her all sorts of names, really disrespectful, words that you don't want to say, especially to a woman. And then she made me aware of it. So a few days later when I was in store, he came in and I approached him and I said, look, can I have a chat with you outside? Went outside, explained, look, we had an issue. You didn't need to kick off like that. Staff are upset about it, as you can imagine. And he just denied it. And then just all of a sudden flicked a switch and just started just going off at me about it and telling me how he was going to wait for me until when we closed. Saw another young lad in the shop, told him that on his way home he's going to, he did the movement where you slice your throat and the kill sign.
Yeah.
And it was just like...
All of this because of just a misunderstanding about change that was then sorted straight away.
Just because the change was wrong. There's a lot going on, a lot of things happening. A lot of stuff's going to happen. And people are going to get things wrong. We're human.
Yeah, of course. And then, yeah. I mean, everyone's under a lot of stress, aren't they, on both sides of the till?
Of course. Yeah, and then yesterday, I had a chap come in and he didn't have the right change. I mean, this is probably... throughout the day yesterday, I gave someone... they're shopping for free because their card didn't work. I gave him a bottle of cider because he'd left his money at home and he bought the neighbour's money. So I was feeling pretty generous. I was all right. I was doing what we normally do. And this one guy goes, I haven't got 50p change. I want a pack of Rizla. And we were like, well, the card machine is limited. So, just pick something else up. Didn't want to hear it. Didn't like the fact that he couldn't put 50p on the card. So he decided to jump in his car and ram raid the shop.
What?
Didn't get very far. He hit the bollard about 4 or 5 times and drove away. You know, and it was just, and luckily I just asked the staff to just carry on whatever they were doing.
Yeah.
Down at the other end of the stall. You know, if he's going to come in, then good luck to him. I'm not going to go out there and try and stop him.
No, of course.
And neither should anyone else.
No. I'd say the people are much more important than property.
That's it. And those three examples are extremes. Granted, they're the extremes. But generally, people are nice. People are very kind. People are very polite, helpful. But it's the odd person that just doesn't like the restriction, you know, where they're trying to limit a few packets of meat going out. We're trying to limit rice and pasta and flour and all those things that are top of everyone's list at the moment. And it's not suiting them.
Yeah.
And because we have a face, they see us, I guess they're just losing their heads.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's just this time of everyone just being at high tension all the time, and the idea of just having all that, I guess, pent up energy, and then when anything takes you off that track, then, like you said, some people are just going off the rails. Not to say that any of that is justified, though, because it's, you know, ridiculous.
These are people not.
You and your staff are people that have to, you know, go home to your families at the end of the day as well. I mean, a lot of people don't remember that, like, it's actual people. It's not just, you know, it's not just faceless corporate. These are, you know, people with families and all that sort of thing. So yeah, it's really sad to hear that. How's it? You mentioned that the police had to get involved in one case. How's the police response been at the moment?
Actually, the police were involved in, I think it was all 3 cases, and they turned up every time, really quickly, and really reassuring. You know, they said the right things, they did the right things. I couldn't fault them.
Okay, that's good. That's really good.
In all 3 examples, we're in the same store, and for years we probably haven't had any incidents. So I'd definitely put it down to the environment that we're currently in.
Yeah,
because it's just not normal. It's not typical for that store. And though I can understand the flippant comment every now and again about the restriction or this and that, because I get where it's coming from. It's the unforgivable stuff where, you know, people are just really don't get it.
Yeah. And you're just trying to do your job to make sure that everyone's got what they can, you know, got enough, like with the restrictions and everything.
Yeah.
It's just so that people don't go mad and buy out the whole shop. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
No. I mean, we've in some stores, the staff and the managers do a better job than others, just because of the location of that store. The customers are generally the staff's neighbours, because it's a village. And one of the really good ideas that have come out, or two of the really good ideas that have come out, is we put signs up saying one basket, once a day, one person, and that made people think, rather than coming out and just coming in and getting a scratch card. Even though there's a lockdown, they're actually thinking before they leave the home and saying, well, actually, I can only do this. They all know me. So I can't just send each of us to go in and get, you know, a different ingredient. So they're a bit more conscious there. But when bigger towns, it's a bit harder to do. And then the other example that we've got is a really positive example, where we've done loads of deliveries, taken loads of orders, and a friend of mine had an experience, and we've made it into a feature. And the experience is where someone's ordered up, called up, made an order, we've totaled it up, they've done the payment over the phone, and then we've got the bag ready. And rather than doing a click and collect or asking one of the volunteers to drop it off, what we've made as a feature is that customer can drive up and open the boot, and we just drop it in the boot. So it's a totally contactless shopping experience.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's
good. And people really liked it. They've taken to it. So the environment that we're in has created positives and negatives. And I don't wish to want to dwell on the negatives. I mean, my anxiety is at a high just as much as everybody else's.
Mm. So do you feel like you're seeing...
Which means that I need to talk about things, and that helps, because it helps share the experience with everyone.
Yeah. So do you feel like you're seeing basically both extremes of what society looks like at the moment, in that everyone's sort of in a bit of a...
Completely.
..a level at home, and then you get both the very good and the very bad when people come out, and we're sort of holding the edges of that community together?
Completely, completely. I mean, the good thing is that whether the experience is good or bad, where and when we are able to share it via our social media, via our personal social medias, really interesting responses, and interesting in the sense that you can find the comedy in it, you can find the sadness in it, you can share it, and other people are talking about similar experiences. So it makes you feel like you're not alone.
Yeah.
You're not in that area where you're the only one that's experiencing. Everyone has an idiot in their village. which is quite reassuring.
Yeah. And the one thing that I've been struck by is that everyone, when they receive abuse from people, everyone deals with it differently. Like you said, some people, you try and laugh it off. Some people internalize. Some people take it very seriously. Some people try and sort of brush it off. But like what you just said is really important, that people do share that experience and do say that it's happening, because they're not just us.
Yeah,
just internally. Like everyone needs to know what is going on.
Yeah, I think generally not a lot happens in stores where you would go home and talk about your experience. You know, you don't tend to have, or from my experience, you don't tend to go home and your other half say, "Oh, how's work?" And, you know, just say, "Yeah, we had beans. We sold beans. We put beans on the shelf. Beans." Not a lot really changes.
Mm.
But with what's happened over the last few weeks and the amount of things going on, what's been really helpful is just sharing those stories, whether that be with your family, whether that be with people that you know in the industry, or whether that just be with the wider friends group.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
It perspective is really valuable, and it allows you to have a wider perspective, I guess.
Yeah, that's really useful, Rav, and thanks for taking the time out to have a chat with us. I'm going to let you get back to it now, because I appreciate you're really busy and you've got stores to run.
No problem.
And busy time as it is, but thanks again, really appreciate it.
No problem. Take care.
Thanks again to Rav, who also recorded a piece for Radio 4's World Tonight programme, which aired on Tuesday night. So if you get a chance, have a look on iPlayer or the BBC Sounds app and give that a listen, because as I say, Rav talks really well about what's happening in the business at the moment. The final thing I'd like to cover on this week's podcast is what we're doing to get positive messages about local shops into communities, and we've just recorded another set of radio interviews, so here's one of those now featuring James Lohman talking about how shops are responding to the COVID-19 outbreak, and Emma Bould, who's from the Alzheimer's Society and has worked closely with us on our Dementia Friends campaign this year. So here's both of them talking about how important it is that local shops are there for not just normal customers but for vulnerable customers as well.
Throughout this lockdown period, there's been some fairly mixed messages on what constitutes essential goods and what doesn't. For those living with Alzheimer's and dementia, these times can be much more taxing than before. So what can be done to assist these people and make sure they're getting the essential goods they need? Joining me on the line now for more detail are CEO of the Association of Convenience Stores, James Lohman, and Emma Bould from the Alzheimer's Society. Thank you for joining me both.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So James, there's been a lot of media attention this week about what is and isn't an essential good. How are you defining essential goods to your members?
Well, the point here is actually we're not and the government aren't. There isn't a definition of an essential good. What there is a definition of which stores can stay open at the moment. And that includes convenience stores, post offices, news agents, supermarkets. But all of the stores can stay open. They can carry on selling exactly what they sold before, exactly what they'd usually be selling at this time of year. So including seasonal goods like Easter eggs, which has been one of the things that's been picked up by the media. So I think one of the things that's been confusing is this idea of essential goods, when really that's not a concept that exists in the guidance that the government put out. So we're just trying to work with local authority enforcement, with the police, and just to make sure that retailers aren't being put under pressure to do things that actually they don't have to do under this guidance.
And of course, the picture across the country is changing. We've seen empty shelves previously in big shops across the country. That seems to be relaxing now. What's the state of play in smaller shops?
I think we're into a very different phase from that real surge in spending in stores. Right at the moment, I characterize it as being a lot about retailers trying to enforce and work with their customers around social distancing. So that's the keeping people 2 meters apart in store. Incredibly important, obviously, in terms of our battle against the spread of this virus, and a real challenge for retailers to get that happening in store. So you'll see in your local store, you'll see people queuing outside at a 2 meter distance. You'll see tape on the floor, maybe, so everyone stays a good distance apart. A couple of the things that retailers have done to try to cope with this as well, some of them have shortened their opening hours, so they're not having to replenish the stores while they're open. So they focus on replenishing the stores, then open them. And sometimes stores have shut for a couple of hours in the afternoon so they can get the product back on the shelf, because it's hard to maintain that distancing if a colleague is there replenishing the stores while customers are there. And generally what we're seeing now is probably fewer customers coming into the store, because we can't physically get as many in the store at any one time, quite rightly. But when they do come in, they're probably spending a bit more, because they're probably getting more goods, a few more things that they need, because they're really focused on that, not going out more than they need to. So a maximum of once a day, but many customers going out every few days just to stock up on what they really need. So yeah, it's a really different phase we're now in. And again, I think local shops have stepped up to the plate and are doing a fantastic job serving their local communities.
But for those vulnerable customers that potentially can't get out to you, people that are potentially living with, say, Alzheimer's or dementia, how are your local stores helping them?
So one of the things we're doing a lot of now is deliveries into, well, all sorts of people, actually. It could be people who are just isolating. It could be those more vulnerable customers, older people, people with existing conditions and mental health conditions as well. And particularly, we're very focused working with the Alzheimer's Society on helping those who are living with dementia. So a lot more deliveries going out to stores, often working with local volunteers, often very informal local volunteers, i.e. it's a neighbour of that person, and they're coming in to get stuff for them, or they're placing an order and we're delivering it to the person who really needs it. But also trying to work with those customers when they come to the store. You know, you and I think about how we're finding it all a bit new and a bit different, having to be 2 meters from everybody in store and having to have that explained to us and try to remember how to work with that. Well, imagine doing that if you're already living with dementia and had a lot of challenges in shopping and interacting on that basis normally anyway. So one of the key things for our members are just talking about is thinking about different customers, customers with particular needs. And our members, again, I think are doing a fantastic job in helping everyone who comes into stores and helping everyone who might need deliveries to make sure they can get the products they really need.
Emma, so just to turn to you now, for people that are living with things like dementia and Alzheimer's, what challenges are they currently facing?
So we're hearing through the Alzheimer's Society's Dementia Connect support line that coronavirus is making daily life much harder for people affected by dementia. We're hearing that people are having daily issues with worrying how to cope. They're unable to get food deliveries. Families struggling to explain what's going on to their loved ones affected. And carers are unable to visit vulnerable people in person. So we found that people affected are starving. They're self-rationing food supplies. They're having to break shielding to visit the shops, risking exposure to corona. And we're really worried about that. So we're just asking all organisations, and we're delighted to be working with the Association of Convenience Stores to help these vulnerable individuals get the vital supplies they need.
What kind of important role are these local stores playing for people, say, living with dementia or Alzheimer's?
Completely. So there's 850,000 people with dementia in the UK, and there's an estimated 120,000 people living alone. 1 in 14 people over the age of 65 lives with dementia, and this rises to 1 in 6 over 80. So what we're finding is 95% of people who are living with dementia are isolated. They're socially isolated and they need support. With 17,000 local convenience stores across Britain, they're a critical community hub. They have daily interactions with older and vulnerable customers, whereas other organisations don't. So they're incredibly important for people with dementia to remain connected, to access vital supplies, to withdraw cash, to click and collect for their local grocery deliveries. And with so many older people not being able to use the internet or not having access to the internet, people are at a disadvantage because they can't order food shops online, regardless if there's a delivery slot or not. So they're relying on their local convenience store, and local convenience stores know their customers. On average, people have been working in a convenience store for 5 years or more, and they know the local individuals, they know what support they need. So local shops are playing a vital link in helping these people remain safe and well.
So for anybody that might be living with Alzheimer's or dementia, or of course, their family or carers, if they want to find out a bit more about what you guys are doing to help people out in this unprecedented time, where should they go to?
We can't do this without donations. To donate now and find out more information about what support you can get, you can go to alzheimers.org.uk. And we have a Dementia Connect support line, which is 0333 150 3456. And Alzheimer's Society is there to provide information and practical measures to help you impacted.
So as I mentioned earlier, that interview will be going out to local radio stations over the next few days. And I think it's really important that we get that positive message into communities. So thank you again for listening to the Local Shop podcast. If you're an ACS member, please do look out for the daily COVID-19 emails after the government's press conferences. We try to get them out as soon as physically possible. And for everyone else, you can keep up to date with the latest development, download a bunch of useful resources, posters, home delivery guidance, all of which going down really, really well on our website at acs.org.uk.